You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Yeah, peace, harmony, pet power. Holy shih tzu, baby. You'll learn how to keep your pets from chewing your shoes or eating your cat. It's all about relationships, baby. You and your pet. Pet. So tune in, turn on, and get ready for the positively grooviest pet podcast on the planet. Ooh, that's a lot of peas, baby, isn't it?
What's this show called?
Oh, Behave!
No, really. What's this show called?
Oh, Behave! With your shagadelic host, Arden Moore. What's happening, Arden? Yeah, baby, yeah. Tell us.
Welcome to the Oh, Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. You know, we've heard the phrases, home, sweet home, and there's no place like home. You know, Dorothy was saying that to Toto way back when in The Wizard of Oz. And when it does come to it, home, sweet home is very important. Sadly, these days, with the way the subprime mortgage crisis is happening, there are a lot of people that have to give up their home, sweet home. Today, we have a very special guest. She is Nancy Peterson. She's an issues specialist with the Humane Society of the United States. And we're going to have her on to talk a little bit about maybe what we can do to help people and their pets in this very, very tight economic time. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thank you, Arden.
We appreciate you being here. We're going to come up with some solutions right after we take a commercial break.
Would you like to go out? Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me. Oh, Behave! We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah. Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Doc. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Pets are part of the family, and when traveling with your dog, there's only one magazine to include when packing your doggy's duffel bag, and that's Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each bi-monthly issue includes hotel, city, and state reviews, and doggy destinations to explore with your furry companion. Fido Friendly magazine can be found at Borders, Barnes & Noble, PetSmart, Pet Boutiques, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Or you can go online to subscribe at www.fidofriendly.com. So get traveling with your pet today and leave no dog behind. And remember, Fido Friendly's the only magazine dedicated to the travel lifestyle of man's best friend and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
It's time to start scratching for donations for the Humane Society of Broward County's Walk for the Animals, presented by VCA Animal Hospitals. The walk is Saturday, March 1st at Esplanade Park in downtown Fort Lauderdale. You'll need a registration form, so stop by any VCA Animal Hospital, IHOP, the Museum of Discovery and Science, or the Humane Society. This event is also brought to you by Big 105.9, Comcast, Purina One,
PetLifeRadio.com,
Tidy Cats, and The Herald. Call 954-266-6817 or log on to walk4theanimals.com for more details. See you there.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, Behave!
We're back. You're listening to the Obehave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I want to share with you listeners what's happening here in the world of mortgages. As you know, a few years ago, people were pretty giddy. They were buying homes, and it seems like without even doing anything, putting in new window blinds, the values of their homes were skyrocketing. And people were being able to get homes at putting very little money down, or they would get what they call those wonderful subprime mortgages, where they felt, well, yeah, it'll adjust, no big deal, because it's going to keep making money. As we all know, that isn't the case these days. The bottom has fallen out, and thousands of people all across this country are scrambling to find places to live, find places to rent. I want to share with you what was in the LA Times just a few days ago. There was a woman by the name of Catherine, and she has two dogs named Roxy and Bear. They are both about 4-year-old Labrador German Shepherd mixes. And Catherine lost her home to a mortgage foreclosure, but the home is still there. Here's her dilemma. Every day, she makes daily trips to her now empty home in the Anaheim Hill area of L.A. to care for these two dogs, Roxy and Bear, as she desperately tries to find someone to adopt them before her home is sold. As she says, we can keep them there as long as the house is in limbo, but it's not fair to the dogs. They're not getting the attention that they deserve. And what is happening is she's trying to find a place for them. She's now in a rental that does not accept pets, and she's desperate to find a home for these two. In another case, there was an individual in the city of Escondido, which is in San Diego County, who had 2 9-year-old dogs that he has loved since they were pups. And again, he lost his home to foreclosure. He can't find a place to allow pets to rent. His money is very, very tight, and he surrendered both of his dogs to a local shelter. Apparently, it was so traumatic, and he was crying so much that the people at the shelter had to turn their backs because of how emotional this goodbye was. All across the country, there are thousands of homes being foreclosed, and it is sad to lose your home. But on this show today, we really want to address something that is coming out of this, and that is pets are also losing their homes when people have to foreclose. So we're very fortunate to have a talented individual by the name of Nancy Peterson. She is a companion animal issues specialist with the Humane Society of the United States, and we're hoping that we can talk a little bit about what's happening and maybe offer some options for people. So, Nancy, thanks for being on the show. We're normally giddy and goofy, but you know what? This is a very serious issue, and we're trying to do our best to help our listeners.
It is a very serious issue, Arden, and just like you, I've heard a few stories of people who are in these financial crises, and their pets are also being affected. And we realize that moving and landlord won't allow have always been major reasons why people have surrendered their pets to animal shelters. So we have some really good resources that we hope can help people who are now finding themselves in this situation of having to move.
Yeah, I mean, one account that I read said just in the last 3 months of 2007, the number of foreclosures just in the state of California hit a record 31,676 homes. And as the mortgage expert said, that's just the tip of the iceberg. And it's not just in places on the coast like California, but in America's heartland as well. There are shelters that are seeing record number of surrenders. And these are nice dogs and cats, well-behaved, been in homes mm-hmm. all their lives. And so I guess the problem, Nancy, is too, is these shelters are kind of being caught a little bit off guard by this surge, if you will, that, you know, maybe we didn't anticipate.
I think that's true. And I think that also what may make it a little difficult to actually get a real grasp on this is that when people do bring their pet to a shelter, that's a really difficult thing to do, as evidenced by the story you told of the gentleman just in tears leaving his two dogs. But to say, you know, I'm bringing my pets because I've been foreclosed, that in addition could be embarrassing or humiliating, and people may not actually be giving that reason. They may be saying moving, which, as I've indicated, is a very common reason why pets are relinquished. And pet-friendly rental housing can be difficult to find, but it's not impossible. Our website at rentwithpets.org has lots of really good information about how to present yourself as a responsible pet owner. I think that it's common that it may be a bit more challenging if you have a pet, and certainly may take a little more time, but it's not impossible. What we want to impress upon people is never, never abandon your pet in a home or in an apartment, because that's not only cruel to leave an animal to fend for himself, but it is illegal to abandon a pet.
Yeah, I understand. Just like in one state, it could be punishable up to about a $500 fine and even 6 months in jail or both. You know, it's kind of difficult to always prosecute them, but you made a very good point. It's not only heart-wrenching and emotional, it's illegal and criminal. You know, our pets can't speak up for themselves and say, hey, I know somebody that'll take me on, or you know, I can go live with Aunt, you know, Jocelyn for a week,
right,
or whatever, until you get your affairs in order. But, yes, I think that's what I wanted to talk to you about. There is a great website, as she mentioned, Nancy Peterson mentioned. It is called rentwithpets.org. Is that correct?
Yes, Arden.
All right. So when you go there, please, I urge everybody there that is kind of in a financial pickle to look at some options now, and maybe that's what we can talk about is, you know, these subprimes are really taking a toll on people, but the writing's on the wall, and I think what I'm asking the listeners to do is, if you're in this situation or you know of a friend that's getting to this situation, we hope that today's show will point you in some direction to give you some solutions. So that, A, the pet is not abandoned, or if worse comes to worse, you do find a shelter that will accept your pets. And I wanted to talk a little bit about Rent with Pets with you, if I may, Nancy. You've really invested a lot of time in this in the last few years. What's your take with this movement, Rent with Pets, that the Humane Society of the United States has campaigned and championed, and how's it going with some of these rental managers?
Well, from what I've seen, and I've attended apartment association conferences for the past 10 years. You know, there are many, many housing professionals who have pets, adore pets, but when it comes to allowing pets in their properties, they can be a little concerned, and they do have legitimate concerns. After all, a pet can do a lot of damage. So we have tried to show housing professionals how they can benefit if they want to allow pets. What it means is they have to do some screening, and we should tell them how to screen for responsible residents. A responsible resident is one who is going to pick up after their dog goes to the bathroom, is not going to leave their pet unattended on the balcony, you know, if there's some kind of a behavior issue, barking, they're going to work with their veterinarian or a trainer or a behaviorist to solve that issue so that they're a good neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So I have seen over the years that more and more people, housing professionals, are interested in allowing pets. If they do it right, it can certainly be good for their bottom line. After all, you know, they are in the business to make a profit. So, again, you know, people with pets that allow them to damage units, that cuts into the housing professional's profit. It can cost a lot of money to make repairs caused by pets. So you can understand why they are a little leery. But again, when there are vacancies, allowing pets really makes sense. Renters with pets account for 50% of their market. So if they just blankly say no pets, they've eliminated a large share of their market. What we hope they will do, again, is evaluate each potential resident, each pet, and in that way they will be having residents who are responsible pet owners as well.
It also sounds, too, I think you've touched on it before when I've spoken to you, and by the way, Nancy is a good friend of mine. She's also president of the Cat Writers Association, so she does a lot of things to help companion animals all over the place. Is the fact that, you know, here's a good opportunity to create a pet resume that you can present to a potential landlord or property manager. If you do need to leave your home and you need to go find a pet-friendly, bring your pet with you for an apartment or whatever, can you give some tips on how to make a really awesome pet resume that will give a big paws up to that landlord?
Well, I always try to work my pets into everything I do, and so the pet resume that is on our website is actually of my kitty Buddy Peterson, and what I included a photo, and what I wanted to impress upon any potential landlord was that Buddy and I have been together for a while, and that Buddy is neutered. He has all his vaccinations. I keep him free of fleas. He gets regular veterinary care, and he's a strictly indoor kitty, which, by the way, is a great way to keep your cat safe and to cut costs. If your kitty's outdoors, he is certainly prone to accidents that could result in veterinary bills. And Arden, before we end our interview, I definitely want to talk about ways to cut costs for people who are faced with possible foreclosures, or not even foreclosures. It may just be that the economy is so rotten now that they don't have the same amount of money to pay for their apartment or their pet, and they need to downsize. But so this resume talks a little bit about my cat's personality and how we like to hang out inside, and we're baseball fans. And I think I mentioned, you know, how long he and I have been together. And also says, you know, please check with my veterinarian for references, and my former landlord and my former neighbors. And the resume is actually written by my cat, so it's very cute. Yeah.
So you're thinking, when you're shopping around for a place to rent, it's good to have this already in hand, and even a photo, or potentially bring the, if it's a dog or a cat that travels well, bring the animal to meet the landlord, right?
Yes, and it's important to make sure that, you know, your dog is wearing his best dress or suit that day, so you want him to be well groomed, and of course
no drool.
And yes, they say a picture's worth a thousand words. Well, you know, I might not bring my dog on the very first meeting, but certainly bring pictures of him and your cat, you know, relaxing in your home, and show the bond between you and your pet, and all maybe some of the accoutrements that you have. So, for instance, my kitty would be pictured possibly lounging in his floor-to-ceiling cat tree, and you know, you might even have a picture of his litter box and how nice it is.
Well, that's good. I think also you equally, in trying to help people figure out how they can make themselves more rentable, you also work with the rent agencies themselves, and so it's nice that I understand that, you know, sometimes if you get a good tenant who has a pet, they're so grateful to have the opportunity to be able to rent that you may end up having even a more stellar renter than you would otherwise.
Right. I remember the days when I rented, and, you know, I did want to be a stellar resident because I was so grateful. I had four cats, and I was so grateful to have a place to live with my four cats. So, you know, I made sure that my apartment was kept really clean and there were no odors, and I disposed of my cat litter properly. I double bagged it. I did all the things that would make me, I think, a model resident.
Yeah,
I stayed a long time too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I had through the years, I've lived in several different states because I'm a fugitive. Just kidding. But there are times where I've owned homes or I've been in that transition phase, but I've never abandoned my pets. And at one time I had three cats, and now I have two dogs and two cats. But the fact that you can offer to put down a deposit, the fact that you can bring good letters of recommendation, the fact that you can bring, hey, these pets are up to date on all their veterinary concerns. Mm-hmm. These are some of the accoutrements in a home that make them less want to, you know, eat the drywall or you know, turn the couch into confetti.
Exactly.
Seems like it makes
and speaking of, you know, chewing on things in the house, of course, that is a main concern of landlords. And chewing or scratching for cats, you know, those are normal pet behaviors. The thing is, you just want to focus those on acceptable items like a scratching post or a chew toy. And because so many pets also lose their homes even more because of behavior than moving, our landlord won't allow. We do have behavior tip sheets. They're free. They're in Spanish, English, and French. They're on our website at petsforlife.org. Petsforlife.org. I want to say that, again, you know, moving has always been a very big reason why people do give up their pets, and I'm not sure if they think that moving with a pet is going to be so difficult so they don't even try, or in certain circumstances, it may be that they really do need to give up their pet. Maybe they're moving into an assisted living and pets aren't allowed, and they've tried to, you know, ask all their friends, their relatives, anyone who knows their pet, if they like this pet and would they be willing to be a responsible pet owner. So, you know, I don't want to say that people who are moving, it's not a legitimate reason. It is sometimes. But again, there are so many things that can be done. And in the behavior realm, listen to this scenario.
Let's hold that thought for just a second because we have to pay for the show and take a commercial break.
Okay.
We're listening to Nancy Peterson. She is a companion animal issue specialist with the Humane Society of the United States. You are on the O-Behave Show with host Arden Moore. We're going to get back to some ways that we can deal with behaviors and also some ways to maybe be a little more frugal in these tight economic times so that both you and your pet can go wherever you need to go should you have to face a foreclosure. We'll be back right after this message.
Would you like to go out?
Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me.
Oh, behave. We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages.
Oh, yeah.
School's in session on Pet Life Radio with Teacher's Pet. Learn how to communicate with your pet, train your pet, and see the world from your pet's point of view. You may even learn a few tricks yourself. Teacher's Pet with pet expert and author Sarah Wilson. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, behave!
Welcome back to the Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. We are happy to have Nancy Peterson. She is an issue specialist with the Humane Society of the United States. Okay, Nancy, you were putting on your thinking cap and coming up with some ideas. We're talking a little bit about behaviors that we can address so that the kitty and the cat and whatever can get to stay with the person that may end up losing their home to a foreclosure, but be able to still be with their pet.
So, for instance, I may be living in a home and I have a dog who barks and, well, you know, it doesn't bother me. And but now I have to move to an apartment. It hasn't bothered my neighbors in the past because, you know, when he barks, I don't put him out in the yard where the whole neighborhood has to hear him. When he barks, he's indoors and I have a radio on for him. And I've tried to understand why he's barking, but he continues to bark. So now I have to move to an apartment. Well, you know, I have neighbors on two walls up and down, and this barking is going to really be a problem, I'm afraid. So I may have to give up my pet. Or let's say I've lived in an apartment, and I have a really nice big apartment. So I have my kitties, and I have three. And one of them has decided that he's going to not use the litter box. And I think, oh, my goodness, you know, I can't go to a new apartment with this kitty who doesn't use the litter box because this is going to be really problematic. Well, behaviorally, behavior could be the cause of the cat's not using the litter box, or it could be a combination of behavior and some kind of a medical issue. So before even thinking of giving up your pet, the best thing would be, of course, to talk to your veterinarian and find out what's going on.
Sometimes it could be a medical problem, but like you said, you need to rule that out first before you start being pet detective and tracking down the source of the behavior cause.
Exactly. And also, again, you know, sometimes really we are in circumstances where we do need to find a responsible home for our pet, and we've tried everything. And so we do have on our website at humanesociety.org, if you just type in the search box, guidelines, finding, responsible, you will come up to all our guidelines that would help you find a responsible home for your pet. Now,
share a couple of those ideas? Can you share a couple from the site?
You know, I think I haven't been on it recently, although okay. I refer people to it all the time, but I know it talks about, you know, giving yourself as much time as possible. There may be relatives or friends or neighbors who are very familiar, know your pet, really like your pet. So certainly let them know that you're looking for a responsible home for your pet. And then it talks about really the gist is the screening process, because you don't want to just give your pet to anybody. You want to make
right.
sure you know the home that your pet is going to, and want to make sure that this person who is interested in your pet is a bona fide person and not someone,
right.
you know, who's posing as an adopter and may have some horrible intentions for your pet. Let's hope not, but you want to be sure. The other thing is, you know, if you've tried everything, then again, as I mentioned, please do not abandon your pet, whether in a home or to the street. The animal shelter is there to be a backup for you. They will at least, and I shouldn't say at least, but, you know, they will care for your pet, make sure he has shelter, food, and water, and at least your pet will have a chance of being adopted into a new home.
Don't you think it would help, too, if you do have to come to that unfortunate decision of surrendering your pet, is to provide as much information about that pet's behavior, likes, dislikes, and medical records. I mean, if I'm looking for a pet at a shelter, and I've done that before, and that's how
mm-hmm.
I got Chipper, I really like it when I can know a little bit about the background, so it's not this big question mark, this big mystery. So I'm wondering if that might help the adoption for your pet, if you have to surrender your pet, by just being as vigilant as possible and giving, you know, my dog really likes to jump in the bathtub with you, or, you know, turns into a puddle when it sees a skateboard. I mean, don't you think it helps a lot to be as candid as possible?
It does. You know, many people are afraid to be, I'll say, totally honest because they think it may hamper a pet's opportunity to find a new home. Well, you know, barring a biting animal, most behaviors, as I say, are normal and with correct intervention can be resolved. And also, a behavior that I might not like, for instance, you know, my cat's always jumping on the counters. I can't deal with that. Another person, it may not be a big deal if they know what to expect. Also, if the shelter knows what to expect, they can possibly work on these behaviors that might be universally unacceptable.
The adopter might be a gymnast that gets a big folly out of watching a cat, you know, leap on the counter and then onto the table. It might be, you know, they might set up a little feline agility for that cat.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Or a dog may, you know, just really, really love people, but not really into other dogs. And maybe you're in that set where, you know, you like to have a one dog, and, you know, you don't have a lot of doggy friends, so that's cool with you, too. So I think it's good to share what your dog or cat likes or doesn't like, because that just makes the match more permanent.
The match is so important. For instance, my sister adopted a cat from a shelter. This cat was given up because the people couldn't deal with this cat. He's always talking to them and following them like a dog. Well, my sister wanted a really, really affectionate cat, and it was the perfect match for her. So, yes, it's so important to let the shelter know, you know, as much as you can.
Well, having a mouthy meow is not so bad sometimes, or a buddy barky, so that's okay. You also said, and I remembered, so see I'm not too senile, to remind you that you have some cool tips on how to maybe stretch your dollar a little bit
right.
When times are tight. Can you offer
right.
share a couple of those?
Mm-hmm. I think that, in general, you're going to be tightening the belt and making some adjustments. But as far as your pet, some ways that you might be able to cut costs would be, well, I think we've all gotten into the habit of buying expensive toys and sometimes accessories for our pets. And really, they're going to be just as happy with something inexpensive. It could even be a homemade toy. So, for instance, my kitties love to play with a ping pong ball in the bathtub. But again, you want to take that out at night so you can get some sleep. Or a paper
bag.
And you
don't want water in there either, so you have
something. Right, no water, empty bathtub. Or a paper bag that you've taken the handles off. And, of course, spending time with your pet is almost the best gift that you can give. For doggies, you know, take them for an extra walk and really tire them out, because as trainers know and dog owners know, a tired dog is a good dog. A tired dog won't be getting into other mischief. Another
right.
way is when you're outside, you know, make sure that your dog is on a leash. If you walk your cat, harness and leash. Don't let your cat roam outside, because these actions will make your pet more prone to accidents and then, you know, resulting veterinary bills. I think
right.
you can also talk to your veterinarian. Let him know that finances are tight. And if it's vaccination time, rather than foregoing vaccinations, ask, you know, what are the most essential vaccinations to keep my pet healthy? And possibly, you know, I've been a good client. If I don't have a credit card, could I pay on installments? So these are some ways that you can reduce the cost of caring responsibly for your pet.
The other thing, too, is I've been doing some research with the housing market. And, you know, banks don't want to be stuck with a bunch of foreclosures. They don't make any money on that. So the other thing I urge the listeners to take heart with is, before it gets too bad and you have limited options, speak with your lender, because if you're on one of those adjustable rates and you were initially paying your payment at what it started out with, some lenders are actually considering to allow locking in to those original rates, because they don't want to have the hassle and the headache of having this big surplus of homes to try to dump. And that you might be able to work out something with your lender to be able to stay in your home. There is also other options, but when you do foreclose, it will take a big ding on your credit. And, you know, so you have to consider that. But I urge people to speak with the agencies in their area to look at some options before it gets to this point. And certainly, you know, pets are part of our family. They are what makes our houses our homes. And so I'm very grateful that Nancy Peterson from the Humane Society of the United States was our guest today to be able to talk about some ideas that we can do. Nancy, is there, you want to go ahead and repeat a couple of those websites before
sure.
we sign off?
Sure. I think the first one would be www.rentwithpets.org. And the second is www.petsforlife.org. And that's 4, F-O-R.
All right. Thank you very much, Nancy. Big paws up to you and your feline crew at home. You've been listening to The O'Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. If you would like a transcript of the show or to learn more about this show, O'Behave, or any show on Pet Life Radio, please visit PetLifeRadio.com and zip me off an email. If you have a great idea or you want to get on the show, just email me at Arden@PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, I just have two words for all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. Oh, behave.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave. With your groovy host, pet edutainer Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.